sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere for Knockout Radio. I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
All right, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. All right. See y'all next week.
Man, that's the first time I've actually listened to the intro. It gives like instructions, like keep your hands up and your chin down. Yeah. I didn't realize it was like actually useful knowledge for protecting your chin in a combat sport.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the person who wrote it kind of had a little bit of knowledge.
Who wrote it?
I believe it was me. Unbelievable. All right, so let me run down the schedule.
Okay.
And then I can also run down the supposed schedule.
Okay. Oh, we got two schedules.
We do have two schedules.
Okay.
You know, so many, we don't all really know what's going on, but.
We guys got, always got to have a backup plan.
Well, it's not that we have a backup plan. It's just not everybody probably is going to call in.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mike Perry will be on momentarily.
Mike Perry.
You know, after the first
break.
Congrats. And I kind of want to talk to him about what went down Saturday night as expected.
Okay.
You know, did he expect that kind of fight with Julian Lane? Big props to Julian Lane. And when I say big props, what are we saying? Good job for taking an ass whooping? Because he did.
Yeah, but they both
but
gave
he
it
gave
back.
Too,
yeah. They both received, they both looked the same after the fight.
You know what kind of bothered me, and fans never really get to see this, and I'll run down the schedule in a second because I'll forget this one little piece, is we had the opportunity walking to and from the arena to our car and then back and such on Saturday, that we saw one of the fighters.
Okay.
Bret Hart.
Oh, post-fight or
post-fight.
Before?
Okay. No, post-fight. You know, and dejected and sitting in the corner. And we don't see that. You know, we only see when we go to an event, we only see the fight itself and then as they walk in away, you know, winning or losing. You know, and fans, and I know this went down with Walker on Saturday with the UFC as well, you know, sending texts and tweets and kind of ripping them for, I guess, what happened. And I didn't see it because obviously I was in Fort Lauderdale. And it kind of bothers me because fans don't realize these are real people. These are human beings.
Sure.
And it's okay to boo and it's okay to do all that. You know, you have a right to do that. But kind of keep in mind, and it got I got slapped in the face a little bit when we walked by Brett, you know, who... let's be honest. I never in a million years thought that fight was going to go the distance.
I don't think anybody did. And she took it all the way to a decision, and she held her own against the champ, against Ferreira. I mean, she looked great, you know. But you know, everybody has that one kryptonite, that one fight that you just can't get over. For McGregor, it was Khabib, you know, and maybe Ferreira is that kryptonite for Britt, even though she's talented and great, maybe she's just never going to get that title.
I'll be there in a minute. I'll come over and help you in a second. So also coming on, Mike Perry, Graham Rahal.
Graham Rahal? The Racing Loyalty? Royalty?
He is from Royalty.
Racing Royalty.
From your neck of the woods. We also have a couple cool things to give away. We do have some Renaissance Festival tickets to give away.
Okay.
And we also have a VIP package for the Firestone Grand Prix of Safety.
Ooh! So they want to tune in for that.
Well, tune in or come in.
Come in. Oh, you got to come here to get the prize.
Pam Tillis will be on. Another
legend.
Royalty.
Legend. Royalty. That's a legend.
And what I didn't realize, and Billy told me, that and this is going to be either good or bad for me or good or bad for you.
Okay.
Okay? I believe Pam Tillis was born in Plant City.
Oh, really?
I believe Mel Tillis was born in Tampa.
Okay.
So either you or I will be able to ask Pam, does she call Plant City home?
Okay.
Which she probably doesn't.
You don't think so?
But this is where we get to go into me saying I'm from Philadelphia.
Okay.
Is
it's
Pam,
where you're born. It's where you live.
Well, I'm saying that's what we can talk about.
Because she spent so much time in Nashville being a country star, they probably call Nashville home.
Well, it's home now. I mean, I call Tampa Bay home.
Right.
But I wasn't born in Tampa Bay. And I will always say I was born in Philadelphia.
And I'll be honest, the Strawberry Festival in Plant City They always bring in the biggest names for their Strawberry Festival. It's unbelievable.
I saw Garth Brooks there.
The talent that they can acquire in that little city known for strawberries.
Known for strawberries. David Feldman coming on. And from what I understand, he's got some big news.
Big time. What an event. What a show.
Honestly, and we always say this, best ever, greatest ever. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. And I don't have a problem saying Saturday night was the greatest bare knuckle fighting championship event.
True story.
Of all time.
Unbelievable.
The fights were off the chain.
The matchups were even. It was unbelievable night of fights.
I was semi-unprofessional.
Again?
Again what?
I mean, you did it with Donald Trump once.
Well, yeah, I was.
Is this equal to that?
Well, are you unprofessional if you take your credential off and put it in your pocket? If you're no longer media.
Yeah, if you're not doing the job of covering the sport, then you're a fan. You're a friend. You're a spectator.
A little emotions went through me, watching Yuli Diaz.
Yuli looked like a monster.
Well, first he got dropped.
He had adversity, come back, and heart of a champion.
I was with his family and his boys and watching them. And, other people, coming over and saying it'll be okay. Daddy will do all right. And, of course, girlfriend was there, Dana.
Dana Brooke.
It's funny.
WWE.
I kind of went to look for her because we're friends. And finally, I didn't know it, but Steve said she's behind you. And I go, I'm going to go look for Dana. And I turn around. I kind of.
Well, it looks different on TV. Like, they actually,
She won the belt back.
Always.
I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah.
She's the,
yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah, I did.
The 24/7 champ.
For sure.
So she won the belt back. So Yuli, Dave Feldman, Pam Tillis in the second hour, Mike Perry for sure, and we're waiting on confirmation for Terrace McKinney and Jin Yu Frey, who both of them fight Saturday night on UFC at the Apex. And then next week, I'm headed out.
Does the Apex have a DJ? Because I'll tell you, in Miami, DJ Tony sold out Hard Rock Casino, three levels
he
of fans.
Out.
That place was rocking.
But DJ Tony sold out the arena?
He could with his talent. But does the Apex have a DJ? Like, do they have a walkout songs for the Apex Center?
I don't know.
That's a question I want to know. I want to know if the fighters have their own hype music to walk out during the Apex. Because I know it's a closed quarters and UFC owned. But I think we should get Tony. You want to go to the UFC and do the Apex walkout? I'll be your co-DJ. Is there co-DJs? I mean, it's co-hosts of radio shows. But do you guys have co-DJs? Can you do, like, two DJs at the same booth?
It's kind of like, first of all, Tony should know, because he's a DJ, that if he's going to respond, he should have picked up the headset and set it on the air.
He doesn't know how the equipment works. He does turntables. And, like what about Luis Palomino's walkout?
I didn't see it.
He had the drums. You were in the drum section.
I didn't see it.
I
didn't turn around and look.
It was next to your head.
I did not know
there was drums, like, boom, doo, doo. They did the whole, like, drums, like, the walkout music. It was unbelievable.
I
think it's the greatest walkout of all walkouts of all fighters all time.
I disagree. I'm still going to say the greatest was A, Tito Ortiz, his walkout. And I used to love Chael Sonnen, how he would get in the octagon and do the come on, like, I'm waiting for you. To me, they were two
of them. I mean, none of them are as good as, like, Hulk Hogan. A real American hero.
Yeah, Tom Lawler was exactly the same thing.
I mean, but Hogan
he did it in
best.
Canada. He came out to that and then lost. And I'm like, no, Tom, if you're going to come out to I'm a real American and all that kind of stuff, you at least have to win.
Yeah, he'd have to change, like, I'm a real North American.
Well, that would work.
Can't be American in Canada.
North American covers everything.
Yeah.
I get it.
Oh man!
But it was a
what a weekend! It was unbelievable.
And we're going to go back in time as we talk about everything BKFC and the UFC last week. But right now, let's jump to the UFC this week.
Yeah,
I'll be out there broadcasting next week. But right now, let's welcome to the program Terrence McKinney. Terrence, how are you?
Let's go, you guys! Fight week, baby!
Nice.
Really, the main thing I wanted to say to you or ask you is, can we talk longer than your last fight, or for that matter, your last, what, three or four fights?
Yeah, we can make it happen for sure, man. It's a pleasure to be on the radio show with you guys, man. I'm excited about this.
Talking about that, the times of those fights, is that something that, you know, I know the media talks about and fans talk about. Do you need to block that out, or should everybody expect that every single time you get in the octagon?
Yeah, everyone should expect the first round finish, because you guys sacrifice everything to watch us, you know. Sometimes skipping a day just to watch this fight. So, no, I'm out there to put online for you guys as well. Expect action. It's, I don't care win or lose. Just know it's going to be a show.
Well, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to Dana next week, and I'm going to ask him if he can make you the main event all the time. And
yeah,
and
that's what we need. Talk to him for me.
And I'm going to tell you why, because I've covered the UFC longer than anybody in the country. And when I come out to cover, I'm based on East Coast in Tampa. I red eye it. So I fly home Saturday night, the night of the fights. So I would appreciate, you know, 7 second, you know, main events so that I can get to my plane on time.
No further questions. I'm going to have to DM Dana, set this up for you.
we'll both take care of that. Are you a fan of any other sports? And if so, which ones?
I just really like watching a championship where heart, grit, clutchness comes out. So, like, I'm a fan of all sports, but definitely love watching a championship. Like, the Super Bowl, NBA Finals, just, I love it.
When you watch those games, which would you rather, like a close game like the Super Bowl just was in L.A., or would you rather watch one team totally dominate the other and it, you know, basically be over football-wise, say, by halftime?
No, you guys know we love the back and forth, but we do love to see the domination, you know. I know that if your team's dominating, there ain't no better feeling.
And if your team's losing, all you do, is, you know, at least Super Bowl-wise, is you just watch the commercials and not the game.
Exactly.
Before we talk about the fight on Saturday, I'm curious, where did you put your Fighters Only Award?
Oh, you talking about the MMA Fighters Only Award? I didn't get one, but I got to present one, and it was such an honor, man. The event was beautiful. The lights, it's something I'll never forget. It was an honor to do that.
There was so much going on and so many people around you. To be honest, I thought you won one. I didn't even realize you were presenting it. I thought you won it.
Hey, that's even better. If the fans think that, that's sick as hell.
All right, well, we'll push that on our social media. Talk about how much you enjoyed being on social media and kind of, you know, interacting with the fans.
For me, like I said, it takes the army to go to war, and you guys are my family, and I love you guys, man. I appreciate the support. So I think it's huge for me to show these guys that we're just normal people like you guys. Like, I want to show them that no matter how big I get, I'm going to show love to the fans, because I used to be a fan right there in the seat watching the same thing, supporting the fighters that I love. So I'm just going to keep it full circle, man, and I love you guys.
Hey, Terrence, so right before you came on, I actually asked a question openly about walkout music, and I didn't know. Do you know if the Apex, do they allow you to have walkout songs at the Apex? Like, do you have your own music and your own hype music to come out?
Yeah. I got to pick my walkout song, and it's an old school, man. You guys know I'm coming with the old school bangers, so expect something fire. You're going to be like, oh, no, he didn't. So just be ready.
What do you know about your opponent? Or like when I do talk to fighters, does it even matter? Is it more what you're going to do in the octagon, or do you need to, like, research and check up on your opponent?
It's always good to go to battle and strategy. You know, look at Napoleon. No battle is won without strategy. So we study our opponent. We know what he's good at, and we know what I'm good at, and we know what he's weak at, and we're going to look to expose those this Saturday.
Well, but like they've always said, everybody can have a strategy, but if the second thing doesn't go in the proper direction, doesn't that kind of change the whole strategy?
Exactly. Like they say, everyone has a game plan until they get hit in the face, you know?
Right. That old Mike Tyson's comment. What's the strangest, funniest, craziest thing that's ever happened either to you or involving you in the middle of a fight?
Probably when I snapped my leg like Anderson Silva, and then I proceeded to double leg this dude to the ground.
Oh my God. I can't even picture that. Oh my God. I was there when it happened to Anderson, so I can't even picture that, you know, and then you go in to do that. How much fun?
I was thinking, I was like, if I take the shoe down into the middle, no way I'm not getting signed to UFC. Broke my leg, take him down. I was just thinking, hey, we can make some crazy things happen.
That's awesome. We're going to have to catch the video on that. I can just tell by your voice how much fun this is for you.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, whether it's fight week or whether it's going to be the fight on Saturday, that you really, truly enjoy this.
Yeah, man. I love this sport, man. It's just so humbling, man. Like, win or lose, you know, it puts fire in, you know, and that's what I love about this sport. Like, it's just respect, you know.
Oh, that was really the old school when I first started covering it, you know, that, you know, the respect. And I always joke with some of the fighters. I had a fist fight with my brother. I think I was 17 and he was 19, and I haven't liked him since.
It's a true story.
And it is a true story. You know, we still don't get along because I kind of remember back to that fist fight. Talk about how, you know, yes, this is your job, and yes, it's competition and sportsmanship, but how you guys can do that. Get in a fist fight and then kind of hug it out and walk out and 9 out of 10 times be okay with the opponent.
Yeah, it's just like this, man. This is how I see it. These guys put their whole mental health online, physical health online. They're fighting in front of their families, man. So, and anyone that shared a cage with me, that's my brother, man, because it takes a real man to step out there, you know, because you're going to get ridiculed, like, whether your performance is not like the fans like, whether you lost, you know. And I just have love for them because I know what it feels like to lose and I know what it feels like to win. I know both spectrums of it, and that's why I want to show love, because I want them to know that no matter what, I still got love for them. No matter what the fans saying, I want to see them succeed.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Hey, Terrence, look, so we know you have, like, you know, the fast knockouts and all that. This is more of a statement than it is
really,
a question.
Do you really know? Seriously.
7 seconds.
Last one was 7.
Yeah.
The one before, he really, you know, had to
go
long.
2 minutes and 57.
A minute and 12 seconds, and then a 7, and a 17, and a 16.
Yeah, I mean.
It takes you longer to make pizza than he does
but
to fight.
But I'll tell you what, and my point I was getting to, Terrence, was this weekend we saw Yuli Diaz, who owns the fastest combat knockout of all time, 3 seconds in the BKFC. He got rocked. He went down. He came back, and he won that fight. And as impressive as the fast knockouts are, I think he earned more respect for me after seeing the adversity this weekend. And I just wonder how much pressure is on you because of how spectacular knockouts have been.
It's no pressure on me, man. I'm the underdog, and I love that, man. Everyone bet up, cash in on that plus 15. You guys know how I'm coming, man. I'm looking for the first round finish, or second, or third. Just know I'm out here to finish fights and make highlights, baby.
Normally, you know, we end our chat with what can the fans expect, but you just did that. You just told the fans what they can expect on Saturday. I can't wait to watch you. Terrence, thank you very much for your time. I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8 Man Strong and a box of really cool socks from Odd Sock Official for coming on today.
Yes, sir, man. Thank you, guys, man. I appreciate that, man. And I'll make sure to get some pictures up on my story. And make sure you put a little paper in there so I have you guys' Instagrams and stuff so I can tag you.
We'll definitely do it. Thanks a lot, Terrence. Awesome. Enjoy Saturday.
Yes, sir. Thank you, man. You guys stay blessed.
You as well. That's Terrence McKinney back in it. That knockout, you remember who it was against, right?
Yeah, Matt Friola.
Yeah, Matt
Friola. Steamroller. Yep. Steamroller Friola.
So I write down a couple things.
Okay.
You know, for every guest that's coming on.
Yes.
And coming up at the bottom of the hour will be Jin Yu Frey. And I wrote down 2 or 3 things to kind of talk about. Look at the sheet that I have for Mike Perry.
It's blank.
It's blank.
Because he takes control of the conversation.
No, it's not that he takes control.
He just goes where he wants to go.
We were at the fight. We're going to talk about what happened on Saturday.
Right.
And it truly looked like he was having fun.
I think he had a great time. I think it was harder than he expected, though. I bet he's going to confess, too. I didn't expect it to be this difficult. I think he's going to think it was like going to be easy, and I think it was harder than he thought.
I don't know. I think he expected. I think he expected that.
I think he didn't expect how he needed to toughen up his knuckles. I don't think he prepared for punching the sand in the bucket like the guys do, punching the concrete blocks.
He told us 2 weeks ago he did that.
But I don't think he did it with, like, intent. I don't think he did it with, like, the intent of deadening those nerves inside the knuckles to actually make his punches more compact.
Right. But we'll send the limo. We'll pick Mike up. We'll bring him in here, and you can ask him those questions, and then he can tighten up his knuckles punching you in the face.
Well, at least right now he can't even make a full fist, I bet.
Sure he can. Platinum, how are you, buddy?
Damn right I can.
Okay, all right. I told you.
So first and foremost.
I'm still hungry.
Well, you need to get down here and get some pizza.
Yeah.
No, it's a different type of hunger. I'm hungry for this money, by the way that I get it. Because all these people on the outside of me and what I do, they all want to talk like they understand it, saying that I can't make a full fist and things like that. That's what everybody's doing. They're all still doubting. They're all still saying that, you know, it is a way that they say it is because they just can't understand the way I am.
Well, I honestly think, Mike, that that's all the fans when they talk about all the fighters, you know, and I started the show with when we walked to our car and Britt was outside and the emotion and fans don't look at it that way. And I wish they did. I mean, you guys are athletes, but, you know, with feelings and I just hate how fans say and respond when they honestly have no idea what they're talking about.
I mean, but that's what it is to be a fan, though. You just sit on the outside, and if you're a really good athlete, then you don't care what others say. So,
well, let's be real honest, Mike. I'm not a really good athlete, and I still don't care what other people say.
Yeah, I mean, they can't tell you nothing. You're a good speaker.
Well, talk about the event on Saturday. Talk about, did it go, everything in there, was it what you expected?
Yeah, I think it was exactly what I wanted. I think I allowed myself to, you know, get the full feeling of what it's like to be in a good bare knuckle match. Because, I mean, the hand thing, though, I didn't expect my hands to go the way they went. And, you know, I watched the fight back, and I felt like it was 4-1 going in the fifth. And the reason I got hit a little more in the fifth was because I just couldn't hit him anymore. So I just moved my head a little bit more. But I forget to move sometimes because I just rather hit people. But instead I got hit a couple times because my hands just wouldn't hit because they felt what happened every time they landed. So I got to work on that.
Do you think by this being, a competitive fight, and it was competitive, that would be better for you moving forward now that, you know, you're used to bare knuckle than if it was against somebody and it was, a minute and a half knockout?
Yeah, that's what I meant when I said that, like, I got everything I wanted out of the fight because, you know, I almost knocked him out, and then I told myself in the ring, I was like, well, I want more ring time.
Right.
Deep down, subconsciously, I may have allowed it. And, and then he got himself back into the fight. And then, I mean, like, he got himself back in as far as staying there because he started blocking a lot more. I was still hitting him, slapping him. I threw some combinations, but, you know, as far, you know, he landed a couple shots at the end of the fourth, and he landed a couple shots in the fifth when I couldn't hit him back. So, you know, really, like I said, I just want to practice, and I enjoyed the ring time. I really liked being in the ring and getting my spotlight for the whole 10 minutes.
Is it safe to say that bare knuckle was built for Mike Perry and Mike Perry is built for bare knuckle?
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Let's go. I'm ready to go. I'm hungry. People still pissing me off, so I'm hungry and want to fight people all the time.
How soon do you want to do it again? And I know that's the typical question. Who do you want to fight? Are you going to wait till whoever comes after you, or there's somebody, or is it a title fight already?
I mean, whatever. I'll fight anybody. So, I mean, we can make the Frank fight happen in time. The Frank Ritchie, you know, we can fight him. He's got, like, what is he, 4-0, or did he lose one? I don't know. I think he's like 4-5-0 in bare knuckle. And fighting these short guys that can't close the gap on him. I'm a different type. I'm a short guy that'll close that gap. So a little more head movement, a little more blocking on my part. I should work my way right in there.
So my question, curiosity wise, is from an MMA fight, like how's your body feel compared to like a fight where you took leg kicks and ground and pounds and strikes versus just the boxing on Saturday? Like, do you feel better or worse?
I mean, I always feel good after a fight. It's a nice piece. It's a strength. Like, I mean, my legs have never really been too beat up, even when I took kicks. Like, I'm a man about my stuff. I don't care about it. And, I mean, I show that in the way I fight. I fight a very tough style. You can hit me, and I don't care. I keep coming back to hit you. You know, and I just kind of live my life that way. Life's always throwing shots, and I'm always standing strong.
Okay, so this question is coming from a very old person, that being me. Julian Lane kept saying he's getting that bag, and you kept saying you're getting that bag. What does that mean? Does that mean a bag of money?
Yeah, man, that's kind of what that means. It could be a bag over his head.
Well, I just need you to decipher all this young lingo, because, you know, some of us old people don't necessarily know what that means.
I hear you, man. You were looking pretty young when I saw you at the fight there at the end.
I had a smile on my face,
yeah.
Didn't I?
Had a glow. You had a glow, Randy.
You look like you had a Beach Boys haircut.
Well, I probably did, but I'm going to say this publicly, just in case you didn't see it when I tweeted it, about loyalty and how important loyalty is to me. And I know you've been very loyal to me in the show. Saturday was my granddaughter's birthday, but I said I was going to be there for your fight, and loyalty, I was there.
Well, I don't know how old your granddaughter is, but if she was awake at midnight having a party, I mean, maybe you went to the party after the fight, but I appreciate you being there to support and watch me in my bare knuckle debut. So was that his 9th or 10th fight, as it was my debut? And let me tell you something about bare knuckle. There are some things you can only learn from experiencing it. As many fights as I've been in my whole life, you cannot find out about bare knuckle until you've gotten in the ring with someone who, I mean, it was not his debut. He has reached ups and downs in his career in bare knuckle and in other organizations, and he's been fighting in bare knuckle, and he has had his back against the wall and chose to go the other way, because there's roadblocks in life or forks in the road where you reach a point where you either quit or you get better, you get stronger. And he reached the point and chose to get stronger. And, it was fun. It was a good time against an opponent who showed up to show me what the sport was about. And I came out on top. So, you know, like I said, I learned some things that you can only learn from the actual experience. You can't train for that.
Definitely great stuff. Mike, thank you very much. It was fun. It was an honor to be there for your first bare knuckle. Can't wait for the second one and the third one. And enjoy the victory, and let's talk soon.
All right, sounds good. Tell Shaq to pull up next time.
All right. That is Platinum Mike Perry. It was awesome to watch. It was great a lot time. Of fun.
Great event. Great time. It was great to see Nicholson in his corner. Like, you know, that camp, those guys, they got each other's back, man. It's true loyalty.
This is the perfect sport for both those guys.
For sure.
I know that Alec Nicholson is doing the Masvidal, you know, yep. bare knuckle, and he's been involved with Toe the Line, and this sport is just is built for them. This sport was built for Quentin.
Yeah,
no Rampage question. Jackson back in the day, if it would have been here, which it wasn't.
For sure.
You know, these guys that would always say, they're taking me to the ground. Well, A, that's mixed martial arts.
Right.
And B, if you're not capable to go to the ground, maybe bare knuckles for you.
Yeah. No, it was a great time, great show. It brought out the stars. You had Jacare in the crowd. You had Philip Rowe from the UFC.
So I'm sitting in my seat, in my media seat, and the guy in front of me turns around, looks at me, and hugs me.
Oh.
Well, because of the light, I really couldn't tell that it was Clay Guida.
How did you not know Clay Guida?
It was too dark, and then obviously I saw it was Clay.
How many guys look like Jesus, like, give you a hug?
No, that's for sure.
Did he have sandals on?
Yes, he did. Let's jump back out to Las Vegas as we get ready for this weekend's UFC. And welcome to the program, Jin Yu Frey. Jin, how are you?
Hi. I'm well, thank you.
I know it's just the start of another fight week, and I always ask the fighters this. Is like Wednesday of fight week kind of like the last week of school, and Saturday is the first day of summer vacation, and the entertainment and the enjoyment happens on Saturday?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, the feeling coming into fight week is just so high. You're like, once you finish fight camp, you're just like, nothing can rain on my parade now. I'm done with fight camp, going into fight week.
How do you get through the next couple days? Do you kind of think about, you know, the old Rocky Balboa with the picture on the mirror and you're looking at Saturday? Or do you just kind of go with the flow and, you know, relax, watch some TV, and Saturday you'll get here when it gets here?
I try to personally relax and just kind of go with the flow. You know, it's been a really hard camp, and you put your body through so much. So now's a good time to just kind of relax, return to your center, you know, let everything heal up, get plenty of rest, and be ready to go for Saturday night.
I'm sure you've been asked this question 7,463,212,106 times. How do you go from a nuclear medicine to MMA?
You know, I actually just started, like, doing the MMA training just as a hobby. You know, I played sports through high school and stuff, and then, you know, once I was kind of past college and working, I still kind of felt like a hole in my life where, you know, athletics used to take place. So I started just doing the MMA, you know, just to stay in shape and just to do something physical. But I'm really a pretty competitive person. And, you know, once I start doing something, I want to be the best at it. There's no just giving it half effort or this is kind of cool, this is fun. I usually just dive in head first.
You know, I'm a very competitive person, too, but I can't see myself ever getting in an octagon and not only punching someone, but that one time that I get punched in the face, I'm going to, you know, no, I'm good. I don't need to be that competitive.
Well, Jin, does that give you an advantage, though, like from an analytical standpoint, from a leverage standpoint, from, like, a physics standpoint, from the education you have? Do you use that in your strategy inside, or is it just the physical attributes?
I would say that MMA is definitely like human chess, maybe just with much more dire consequences. So there is a lot of mental work involved and just trying to strategize and being able to make quick adaptations on the fly. So, you know, if what you're doing isn't working, or how you thought the fight was going to go isn't working out that way, you have to be able to make those quick adjustments and alter your game plan.
Another one of my favorite questions, and this is a perfect time taking from what you just said. What's the craziest, strangest, funniest, you know, whatever other word you want to put in there, thing that's ever happened either to you or involving you in the middle of a fight?
Off the top of my head, there's not anything just like super crazy. I had an opponent that, like, I'm pretty sure didn't like shower all week. Like, she. So terrible. And that's kind of like an old school wrestling tactic.
Right.
you know, just because you're going to be grappling people, you know, their faces in your armpit and rubbing all over your skin. Like she was pretty rank. And so I didn't know if it was like a cultural difference or if it was like planned. But yeah, that was a different experience.
A good one. And I know in the NFL, a lot of linemen do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know, they'll come in, you know, in case, you know, they're pushing up against the other line, whether it's offense or defense, and they want to smell because they want to keep everybody off them kind of thing.
Huh.
All right. Let me ask you this question. Let's get the fans to maybe know you a little bit more than they already do. Dinner for four people that you can invite for dinner, living or passed away, real or fictitious, and it can't be, you know, members of your gym, you know, your team, that kind of stuff.
I'm Cleopatra.
Okay.
Alexander the Great. And
We need the Jeopardy music. Do do do.
Yeah.
We can go with two.
It's not a buzzer.
Yeah.
All right. We'll just go with the two.
Okay.
Yeah. Give me your thoughts on Hannah, on your opponent.
You know, she looks to be pretty physically strong, looks to be in great shape. I feel like my experience is probably going to give me a little bit of an edge. And, you know, me coming up from a smaller weight class, you know, I may be at a strength disadvantage, but I feel I'll have a speed advantage.
Final question for you. How do you relax? Is it music? Is it certain TV shows that you kind of can watch and chill? Nothing, meditation, you know, how do you do that?
Music for sure. And I typically, bring a book and I'll just, you know, I'll look for a book that I've been excited about coming out or that looks extremely interesting and I'll just save it for fight week. And, you know, just during my downtime, I'll kind of dive into a book that I've been excited about.
Again, a little different from me. I would wait for the book to become a movie, and then I would just watch the movie so I don't have to read it. What can the fans expect to see Saturday night when you get back in the octagon?
Fireworks, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Quick and easy, fireworks. Thank you very much for your time.
You never know how fights are going to go. So
sure. That's for sure. I know that we have your address, or at least I think we do. We're going to send you out a care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a box of really cool socks from Odd Sock Official for coming on and talking to us today.
Sure. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jen. We appreciate it. Jen Frey back in the Octagon this Saturday. Can't wait. You know what else is going on? This is so action-packed. We haven't even stopped to take a break yet.
I know.
And we're not going to again.
No way.
You know what's this week, right?
I need a break.
You know what's this week?
No.
The race is this week.
Oh, they're setting up downtown.
They are setting it up. The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Pete. On the line, one of your guys from your state.
From Indiana. Who's your state?
Graham Rahal. Graham, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Talk to us about the St. Pete track and all the drivers. You know, tell me how much they love the track and they love the city. Talk about, you know, this race this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great, you know, I think it's just a great race. It's, you know, been there for many years now, I think, closing in on 20-ish. And, you know, first time I raced there, 2008, and just it's a great place to go. It's a great venue. St. Pete, obviously a great town that is very welcoming. I think it embraces the race, you know, to the max. And so it's definitely a great venue and one that we look forward to every year.
I'm going to say it's way more than 20 because I remember – I've covered the race every year, and I remember taking a picture with then Bruce Jenner and my 36-year-old son, who was probably 3 then, or 4. So I'll bet you it's closer to over 30. So
yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I think there's been a couple different versions of it.
Sure.
You know, but you know, as far as I know, I think the first IndyCar race there I'm looking right now is 2003. So we're pretty close, but. Okay. It's you know, it's definitely, you know, a great venue. As I said, I got my first win there, so special to me, and being right downtown, you know, it's definitely a cool place to go and race.
we have a lot of MMA fighters and boxing fighters, you know, that come on Knockout Radio. And I always ask them about, you know, the strangest, craziest thing that's ever happened in the middle of a fist fight. So let me ask you the same thing. Craziest thing, you know, in the middle of the race, have you ever caught yourself drifting for a second or thinking about something? Or what's the craziest thing that ever happened in the middle of a race?
I think, yeah, you know, naturally we all do. Whether we like it or not, you know, mid-race, your brain can kind of leave you there for a second. You gotta, the difference, well, very similar to boxing. The difference here is that, you know, you've certainly got to get your mind right, you know, right away, because it's a pretty intense battle. And if you're not thinking correctly, then you're going to find yourself in a whole bunch of trouble. But, you know, having said that, I would say probably the weirdest thing or the most difficult challenge I had was a few years ago. And had my seatbelt popped off, actually. Only one side, which was what was weird. So one side stayed connected, the other side just kind of failed and separated, which was super strange. But it happens. You know, you've got to just kind of clear your mind and get back to it and move on.
I remember I told a story on the air, and I had people believing that you guys have microwaves in your race car, and when you get hungry, you just pop a Hot Pocket in, and you can have a little snack while you're driving.
I wish. Then you got to get it under your helmet somehow.
Exactly.
But no, it's definitely no room for that, I can tell you that.
Talk about you know, the charities that you're involved in. I know Alex Lemonade Stand is one, and Soldier Strong is the other.
Yeah, so mainly nowadays, we work with Colorado State One Cure, which is comparative oncology, basically utilizing cancer treatment found in dogs to cure humans. They found that the cells, cancer cells in the two, are the same. Dogs are genetically 85% identical to a human, which is no surprise to those of us who are dog owners. Now we all know why we're so close.
Right.
You know, but they've had some great success, and our foundation has funded the first ever clinical trial called the Lasardin trial for bone cancer in children. For many years, when children would get bone cancer, it was unfortunately kind of not really curable or attempted to be cured. The Lasardin trial is showing such great promise that we've now added our second hospital. At first, it was Children's of Denver. Now it's Atlanta. Children's is coming on board, so that's cool. And then the other thing we do is Soldier Strong, which is obviously to help veterans literally and figuratively get back on their feet, helping paralyzed veterans walk again with the use of exoskeletons that we purchased. I believe actually one did go to Tampa. So we provide them to the VA hospitals. They're about $150,000 a piece. I think we bought six of them so far over the last few years. And also help pay for more advanced technologies for PTSD treatment and stuff like that. So our veterans have certainly given a lot to us. Tampa St. Pete is a huge market with MacDill and everything else. And we owe it to them to give back and try to make their lives post-military as good as possible.
Absolutely. And as a veteran, thank you very much you know, for all that you do. Last week, Kim Green told us, and I never even thought of this, that they have to go in front of the council to get an ordinance changed to allow the speeds that you guys are you know, race on, that, you know, the speed limit's 35, I think, in downtown. What is there anything else like that we don't know about, like this, that you know of?
Well, no, not particularly, I must say. I didn't even know about that, to be honest with you. So if that tells you anything. But no, I'm not particularly aware of anything like that.
When you're kind of, go back to the story when I asked, you know, strangest, craziest, when you're in the race car and you're doing 200 plus, does it seem like that, or because you do it all the time, is it just, you know, you're driving fast?
Well, I mean, the cars are naturally, you know, made and capable of doing things of that speed. And so, you know, to be honest with you, no, you don't really feel, the speed at a place like St. Pete, yes, because it's such close quarters. But, you know, at a lot of the other tracks, the bigger track, you feel the sensation of speed when cornering. You feel the sensation of speed when braking in particular. That's where the IndyCar is really impressive. I mean, yes, it accelerates well and does all of those things. But when a car can corner, you know, at 140 150 miles an hour on a road course, or at Indianapolis corner at 225 or 230 miles an hour, that's a sensation of speed that's pretty much unlike any other.
So Grant, I grew up in Indiana, obviously the Indy 500. You know, is it really the biggest, greatest sporting spectacle on planet Earth? I mean, in your eyes, is it that magical still? Because I haven't been in Indiana for 20 years.
Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Obviously, Daytona's big, but Daytona was last week. No disrespect. They're touting 100,000 people as a sold-out crowd. Indianapolis seats 275,000, and we'll get about 325,000 on race day. So those who think Daytona is a big crowd, it's a whole different level when you come to Indianapolis, and we're very proud of that. And I think, if you're from Indiana, you know this. I mean, the tradition, the heritage, and everything else of the race, it goes back so long. I think, there's only a couple other events in the world that are older. Wimbledon, I think, is one. The Kentucky Derby is close. So things that go back that sort of period of time, it's hard to, find tradition and to build the historic relevance that an event has like the Indy 500. So
I know as a kid, Carburation Thursday was like the biggest day to look forward to. Everybody took off work and they went to the infield and everybody, tailgated. But what do they do now? There's no carburetors anymore in racing, are there?
No, but we still call it Carb Day. And we do have a final practice about an hour and a half, and then after that, pretty much all hell breaks loose. They've got concerts, so they have big name, people that come and perform, and it's just a massive party. I think Carb Day for me is the most exciting, day of the year. Sorry, that's my daughter yelling, Mama, which Mama's not even here. But it's probably the most exciting day of the year that a lot of people look forward to. But it is different. We don't have carbs anymore. But the party and everything else, just the same. In fact, the snake pit is different too, because maybe not as crazy of things go on, but snake pit has really become a massive concert on race day that they get about 70,000 kids, college age kids, that meet in the snake pit inside turns 3 and 4 and have a big EDM concert and everything else during the race. So it's kind of a zoo.
That is definitely crazy. I know that you're busy. Two more real quick questions for you. I saw that that you're a golf fan. So when you come to town, will you have time to go hit the golf course, or is it race and race preparation every day?
I wish. I wish. At this time, no. Unfortunately, I haven't had the ability to play very much, nor will I as I go down this time around. But I do. I am a big golfer. I definitely love my time out there golfing, and hopefully someday I'll get the opportunity to go down and play.
Well, let's try to set that up, because I want to invite you to play with a friend of mine. His name is Steve Monroe. Google him. He's the former world long drive champ. He hits 370 off his knees, and one of the best golfers I've ever seen. So I think you would have an absolutely great time golfing with him.
That's pretty crazy. That's awesome.
So we'll set that up. But final question for you. Since you drive for a living, I'm curious, when you and the wife and the family are out and about, who's driving, her or you?
Yeah, I get this question a lot, and I think we all know the answer to that. I'm not a good passenger, nor is she, but actually she quite likes being sitting in the passenger, particularly with our little girl now. She can hang out and talk to Harlan and have some fun, so. I definitely take over those duties.
Hey, Graham, so if you would like to relive Carb Day when you come to town,
Carb Day, right?
We're coming to you live from Tour de Pizza, which is my restaurant, and I'm a pizza maker. So it would be an honor to have you and your crew, your pit, come in. If you want to come in, set up with Randy after the show, and it'd be awesome to have you guys here.
We'll send the limo, the radio show limo, to pick you guys up.
There you go. It'll need a lot to pick all of us.
Well, Steve knows how to get in touch with me. We'd love to bring you down. Have fun when you get here. Enjoy the week in St. Pete. And I know we have your address. We're going to send you a care package from 8-Man Strong, as well as some really cool socks from Odd Sock Official for coming on and talking to us.
Sounds good. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Graham. See you, that is Graham Ray Hall coming to town for the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Pete. And, yeah, it has changed. You know, now it's more Indy. I don't think the Porsches are coming back because Edge isn't coming. My brother's one of my brother's closest friends.
Sure.
Our guy that we won the race with, I don't think they'll be back.
Oh, no.
Because he drove a Porsche, too.
Yeah.
So
I think they drove a Mazda, didn't they?
No, he was in a Porsche.
Was he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And it's Porsche.
Yeah, it's not Porsche.
Yeah, we're Porsche.
Porsche.
That's Ellen DeGeneres.
We got to bring back the Carb Day. Carb Day, like, we can make that a whole spectacle here.
You know, I don't get excited about stuff. I don't get over the top about stuff. And there's been certain times, the first time I went to Legends Field in Tampa, I felt like Babe Ruth hit me in the back of the head.
Really?
I really did.
Okay.
You know,
it was presence.
Could
you still smell a cigar in the air?
No. Oh. when I was at Wrigley and I saw Harry Carey kind of stumble down the steps, it was kind of cool, right?
He was drinking.
So the UFC was in Indianapolis.
Yes.
And I did what I do best, and I set it up and a bunch of fighters, and we went to the Speedway.
Okay.
And we're on the track.
Yes.
And I have a photo of me kissing the bricks.
Some legendary.
And, you know, for something that really didn't mean much to me, it was really pretty cool.
Wow, the tradition, the history, the iconic, you know, like you were saying, the tradition, it's unbelievable. Indy, there's nothing like Indy, ever.
Did you ever go to the museum?
Inside the...
You know, with all the cars and the cool stuff.
Absolutely.
And, definitely cool stuff. So we blew through that entire hour without
a break.
So we only got a couple minutes left.
I feel overworked.
Why? You didn't say anything.
But I feel like I got to report this. I got to call the labor board or something. I feel like I've been taken advantage of.
Oh, you don't know what taking advantage of is.
I need a break, sir.
But, well, you can have a break from 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time until next Wednesday at 1:45.
Well, that's when I do all my working.
Is those 2 hours?
Yeah, that's what I do, a two-hour work week.
Give me your thoughts, and I'm sure you have zero thoughts, on the Juwan Howard situation.
Juwan Howard, I think he did what I would do. I think if anybody's going to squeeze my elbow and try to intimidate me and bully me and like and make it personal, then you deserve to get slapped in the face, even though he slapped the wrong guy.
Well,
but the intent was the right intent.
Well, no, if you slap the wrong guy.
But his association. It's like he's still on the same team. He didn't slap his own teammate. He didn't score on his old goal like the Colombian soccer player. Like, you know, at least he's still part of the enemy, and they're all one.
Thank you for saying it that way. Now you know why I get so worried every time you open your mouth.
Because we're like the Three Musketeers, like, well, all for one, one for all.
Even though we're not a team, you know, people may associate us as a team.
I feel bad for them.
And then when you say these kind of things that you say, or you do these things that you kind of do, it reflects on Steve and I.
Well, what about Tony? Tony's part of the team.
Oh, is Tony now part?
Yeah, Tony's got a microphone.
But he hasn't used it.
I was going to ask Graham Ray Hall.
Scratch his beard.
I was going to ask Graham Ray Hall about the radio selections in the car. Like, do they have radio? Like,
you should have.
Tony wants to know about, you know, what do you listen to?
Well, that's similar to the microwave.
Similar. And then he's been like, we only have our headsets on to talk to the control. You know, they're wearing my curve control. Like, so, but, you know.
I thought it was perfect timing to turn your control off.
But, like, you know, but today's world and everybody gets their way. I'm sure they have, like, their Apple iPod in one ear and, like, their radio in the other. Cause,
I'm going to say no, they don't.
Oh, they have to. Because they're probably like, oh, I'm special. Like, I get my own civil freedoms and liberties. I can listen to Nirvana if I want to drive around at 200 miles an hour.
I'm going to think, even though, and Graham Ray Hall, former winner of the Firestone Grand Prix and legendary family status, I think his team is his dad and some bearded Indian dude named David Letterman.
Maybe. Yeah.
I think it's the Ray Hall Letterman.
Ball State University.
That's where my daughter's going to get her master's from.
Really?
In two months.
Okay.
What month is this?
2 months.
2 months. Yeah. This is 2 months?
Yeah, it's February. Second month. Otherwise known as Black History Month.
2-22-22. What'd you do yesterday on 2-22-22 day?
I worked. That's what I do. I work all the time. I'm overworked, and I got no breaks.
Well, you don't deserve breaks.
Well, they got breaks at the Grand Prix.
You got three people that work here for free.
Yeah, no. Tony gets paid. I gave him three compliments yesterday and a batch of garlic knots.
Okay.
That's true. Two slices
apiece. He's well fed.
Is there any song, DJ Tony, that has been turned down by BKFC?
Oh,
Yeah, there's one song, but I'm
not. Don't tell me.
To,
yeah,
I'm not allowed to say it, but there's one song.
Well, you should be able to. You should be able. Hold on. Mind your business. You should be able to say the song. Just I don't want you to say who it was.
He can't say the song because it's offensive.
Yeah, I can't. Well, I can't say the song because of the reasoning
behind the song.
Behind the song, exactly.
I better know what the song is, but I can't say it.
Why? You got no ties to DJ Tony.
Yeah, but this is Black History Month.
That doesn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, only he starts crap like this. Unbelievable. All right, let's hit the top of the hour break. When we come back, another legendary family, Pam Tillis,
Ooh,
will be on to talk to us.
Country
this is
royalty.
Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song.
Hey, this is Michelle Smith from the United States Olympic gold medal winning softball team, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars through the streets of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg, February 25th to the 27th. Tickets are on sale now at gpstpete.com. It's fast, fun, family entertainment, jam-packed into all 3 days. 10 races in all are on the weekend schedule. The big NTT IndyCar Series race takes the green flag on Sunday afternoon. It all happens at the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, February 25th to the 27th. Get
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen.